they're going to go there to set up home. This is an appalling thought. They're going home to set up home and to bear children for men who aspire to being martyrs. The romantic, if you can use that word, the romantic appeal of these men is that very idealism by which they are ready to give their lives, they're ready to die, they're ready to kill. In some ways, it's more than that. There's something very strange going on in terms of the propaganda of ISIS, which appears to be more effective for by virtue of being incredibly brutal. You know, the propaganda that is coming through them is, you know, of people being beheaded, of people being incinerated by firebombs, like the Jordanian pilot and so on. So really, I'm at a loss here, in a sense, to imagine. I remember years ago when I was studying a wee bit of anthropology in Queens, somebody saying to me that a kind of great unexplored area was what teenage girls talk about in their bedrooms together, you know. But, I mean, the idea that they would be watching videos of beheadings, and that by virtue of the appeal of those videos would be attracted to that life, and would want to go to such extremes to marry and bear children for, have sex with men that they've never met because they are killers. This is beyond the levels of comprehension.
There's so much of this beyond any level of comprehension. Even the guys themselves who are executing the people, it's impossible to get inside their minds and why they would be doing it. One of the arguments would be, of course, that they are so against anything Western. The argument for the girls might be they're against the Syrian government, they're against Assad or whoever, and they've made some sort of political decision. But, and I'm not going to talk about the three girls in the news because they might just be on holiday in Turkey. But with regards to the other ones, there's some from Manchester and Glasgow who've gone the whole hog and who are now part of ISIS. Could it be simply that they're evil teenage people? Is it possible to be so evil and be so young?
No, I think that's a very superficial, if you don't mind me saying so. I mean, we do know here, and I'm sure as a journalist as well, but myself, I was never a member of the IRA myself or any of the paramilitary organizations, but I certainly knew an awful lot of people who were. And over the years as a journalist, I've gone back to them in later life and spoken to them about it. And clearly, many of them are people whose company you would enjoy, who are intelligent, thoughtful people, whatever you think, for instance, about the blanket men and the hunger strike, and I think they were deluded. I think they were idealistic to an extreme. I think that, but they were prepared to die. It's the closest thing we have to this. But, I mean, if you look at what the blanket men did, the blanket men were up to 5 years in Lankesh, not wearing clothes, wrapped in blankets, using the floor of their own cells as toilets and smearing the excrement on the walls, infested by maggots, you know. And,
so you can be influenced. You can be brainwashed. Is that what you're suggesting? Because I stood and looked at the Republican plot in Newry not so long ago, and the names on it, 16, 17, 18, 17. So many of them were 17. That is, you know, when I was growing up, a 17-year-old seemed like a big fella, and he was planting a bomb, and he was killing people, and eventually they killed themselves in no warning bombs. But when you look back, 17 and 16, it seems so young. So should the blame lie fairly and squarely with the commandants, the leaders, the people who drew them in?
Well, I don't know. I think in many ways, I mean, the Republican movement is interesting because, I mean, what we tend to overlook about the start of the Troubles, that the Troubles was a young people's war, you know. It started when Gerry Adams, for instance, was born in 1948. He was 21 in 69, you know, and he would have been an older one of them. and yet it's that same generation then came to their 50s and 60s, or 40s, 50s and 60s, and wrapped it up. You know, you could write an account of the Troubles, which is simply an account of people growing up.
But what you're saying, I'm almost out of time, but you're saying you can't really be evil in your mid-teens.
Well, I'm not saying you can't. Obviously, there are people who become serial killers, and there are people who would have become serial killers even if there had been no backdrop to the Troubles. But I think many of them, I mean, the other side of it was that, I mean, people reacted very naively in many ways to the circumstances they were in. I mean, my house was raided by the army. I was beaten up by the army. You know, I was beaten up by the RUC. I was taken into the back of a vehicle by the RUC, and who tried to provoke me by poking at me to hitting back at them. And I thank God had the wit to realize, you know, all I have to do is thump this guy and I'm going down for a while. I'm going to be interned. You know, there were other guys who didn't have the control at that time.
Okay.
So enraged by that.
Malachy,
their whole lives after
it. I am going to have to leave it there, but thank you for that. It's incredible how people are persuaded to do certain things at certain times. Love to hear from you on this. 90 333 105.